Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. If you can't find that, look and find Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. If you get to the Song of Solomon, you've gone too far. No, I don't know the books of the Bible that well. I studied them right before I came up here. And my Bible has little tabs on it that helps me find those. So I want to look smart while I can. That won't last very long. But I ask you this morning, while we get ready to get into God's Word, I ask for you to pray especially for me this morning. I would love to preach an away in a manger message this morning. I would love to preach a joy to the world message. But I'm going to preach you what God laid on my heart, and we're going to leave it to Him to put the joy down in our hearts and to help us that when we leave here that we're closer than when we came. I do desire your prayers this morning. I'm thankful to have a church that, look, sometimes I talk about being nervous about preaching messages or whatnot. It's not because I think that y'all are going to be offended, that you're going to throw me out, that you're going to tell me, no, don't preach that. It's because I have a great responsibility to preach the Word of God, to preach the truth, to rightly divide the Word of God, and that makes me nervous. To be sure that I stay right in line with what God's Word says, that I don't get off on what I think or what you think or nothing else or a Baptist doctrine or anything else. I want to stay right here, right in the middle of God's Word. And as long as I do that, if y'all get mad, you'll either have to get over it or get somebody else, and it'll be okay either way. Because I done told you to get somebody else, I'm going to be here anyway. So this morning, as we get into God's Word, look, when you go to reading some scripture in the Bible, and there's some scripture in the Bible that talks about a watchman. And the Bible says that if that watchman, if he sees danger, if he sees the enemy coming, and he blows the trumpet, and the people respond to that and they become victorious, that's wonderful. If he blows the trumpet and the people don't respond and they're defeated, then that's their own problem. But if he fails to blow the trumpet and to warn, and the people are defeated, then the blood of the people are required at his hand. You know what? I don't want your blood required at my hand. I don't want my blood required at my hand. So this morning, I'm going to try to give you a little watchman story. I'm going to try to give you just a little something that God's given me this week, and for the past couple of weeks, I had planned on preaching it last week, so God's just continued to deal with me on it through the following week while we missed last Sunday, and I pray that you'll listen. I hope that you'll listen, and let's pray that God just take this message and work in our hearts and show us exactly what he wants to show us. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me, and surely pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and God, we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. I want to thank you for your presence that we feel. And God, we ask you, dear Father, just to work in our hearts this morning. God, I pray that you'll help us, God, as we've come here, that we'll open our minds, we'll open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, that we'll yield unto him. And God, that we will take your word, God, and we'll apply it to our lives. And God, that we as Christians will be closer than we were when we came in. God, if there's someone here that's been saved and maybe they're walking a long ways from you right now, that maybe today will be that day that they rededicate themselves to you and come back to you, God. And God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, we do thank you most of all that you loved us so much, that you allowed your Son to be born into this world with one thing in mind, and that was to give his life on a cross for my sins. God, I'm so unworthy that I want to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse number 1. The Bible reads, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." I want to stop for just a minute right here. We're going to continue on in a moment. But it's kind of weird because there's been several times that Frank Shepherd has come to me and said, just look around our church and see how many young people there are in our church. And our church has been so blessed with young people. Now, let me go ahead and make a statement while I'm there that young people, we better not take the older ones for granted, because without them, this is not here. Without them showing us the way, we detour. Without them helping us and setting examples in front of us, man, we definitely do not need to take the older people in our church for granted. So let me do this. If you're here this morning and you're age 45 and younger, will you please just stand up? I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird. I just want you to stand up right where you're at. Look around the church. Ain't it amazing what God's doing? If you're over age 40, sit down. If you're over age 35, sit down. Wow. I'm glad I just get to keep standing. Y'all don't have a clue how old I am. If you're over age 25, sit down. It's getting better. If you're over age 15, sit down. Woo. Now that knocked out a bunch of us. Okay. Ages 13 to 25, stand back up. 13 to 25. Okay, now listen. Pay real close attention. This message is for you. You're the target. Everybody else here is just going to have to endure what God's given me for you. Everybody else here is just going to have to listen and be a part of it. You are specifically who God has put on my heart. Now listen, it doesn't mean that I think you're involved in anything, but it's time that the watchman sound the warning. You can sit down. If you're here this morning and you're over age 50, no, over age 45, that's where I started at, over age 45, on a count of three, I want you to say amen. One, two, three.
Amen.
All right, now that group right there, I'm going to need your support this morning. Because if not, I've already told Randall, I said, I want you to found a site, but what in the world? A sound bite that says, amen, brother, that's good preaching. I said, if I point to you, I want you to play it. Yes, sir. Because look, this is not one of those hallelujah messages. It is, but it's not. But listen, I want to tell us this morning, the Bible says right here to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I want to congratulate you this morning. If you're here and you're age 35, age 40 and below, I want to congratulate you for being in God's house this morning. I want to give you honor as a young adult that you have chosen to be in God's house, that nobody made you be here this morning, but you have chosen to come and to listen to the voice of God, to hear God speak to you, and to try to pattern your life after what God wants you to be. And that is awesome, and I applaud you, and I congratulate you for it, because I think sometimes us as older ones, I've been out of school a little while, and some of us have been kind of out of touch for just a little while. We have forgotten how tough it is out there for our young people and everything that the devil has to throw at them and everything that you faced, they've got more than you ever thought about. Some of the things that we were faced with, we had to work for. Some of the things that we were faced with, we had to try to get into them. And I want to tell you what, I'm not going to stand here and preach against the cell phone or the internet or anything like that, but I'm just going to say this to you this morning. Some of the things that our young people are faced with nowadays, it is so readily accessible for them that it is scary what is there in their back pocket. That's a good place, 40 and older. Amen. All right, so let's continue reading. Chapter 12, verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while thy evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, life's pretty good for you guys right now. And if you continue reading the scripture, it talks about as we get older, how things quit working and things are not as joyful or they don't seem as pleasant because we're getting older and we got pains and all that. But I want to skip all the way down to verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise. Now, I'm not saying I'm wise. Don't take that out of context. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, Autumn, underline that in your Bible. He still taught. I want you to pay attention to that word. He still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought out to find out acceptable words. Now, that's not talking about giving them acceptable words that they're happy with. It's talking about giving them words of truth. Listen, he found out acceptable words, and which was written was upright, even words of truth. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning. I may have to slow down so that I can stay on track with what God's given me. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about change and things that are still taking place. First of all, we know that times have changed. There is no doubt as you look around, you can turn on the TV, you can look at what we're going through every single day, and we know that times have changed. We know that society has changed. What is acceptable in our society? Lord have mercy. Help me. What is acceptable in our society has definitely changed, and some of you younger ones have even seen that. I've seen it in my time, and some of you older ones have definitely seen that things have changed. Laws and rules have changed. Morals have changed. But let me even go as far as to say this, that church has changed. Worship has changed. Music has changed. Preaching styles have changed. But I want to give you some things this morning that has not changed. And one thing that we know that has not changed, God said that He is the same forevermore, that He is not changed this morning. And we are worshiping a God, we are serving a God who have not said that I'm going to give them all kinds of change throughout their life, and they're going to have to change their thought, they're going to have to change what they do. He said, look, I'm going to give it to you, and you can depend on it, you can stand on it, because it's not going to change. I want to give you a few things this morning that hasn't changed. First of all, I want to still teach you, as it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, that He's still taught. I want to still teach you this, the words of truth, that God is still the creator of all. I want you to know, I'm going to have to be really quick because I got a lot of points I want to get through this morning. That our God is still the creator of everything. He spoke everything into existence. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to explain it. But you do need to believe that God created everything and that He created you in His image for a purpose. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God didn't make you to put down here just to be obedient, obedient to yourself, but God made you fearfully and wonderfully to serve Him, to worship Him, and to enjoy where He has put you in your life. That we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That there is still only one way to heaven this morning. There is still only one way to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't come through anything that this world might have you believe. It doesn't come through good works. It doesn't come through having money and giving things to the church. It doesn't come through being good to your neighbor. It comes through by believing that God is the creator of all, that He loved you so much that He gave His Son Jesus Christ for you, and you accepting Him and asking Him to forgive you of your sins and to be the Lord of your life. That is the way to heaven this morning. That has not changed. Anything else may have changed, but that has not changed. I want to tell you this morning that something that has still not changed. This Bible is still the perfect, the powerful, infallible, inerrant, inspired, living Word of God. It has not changed. It will always be perfect. I want to tell you this morning that I seen a license plate one time that said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I want to tell you, honey, that was wrong. God said it, that settles it. I don't care whether you believe it. I don't care whether scientists believe it. I don't care whether NASA believes it. I want to tell you this morning that when God said it, that settles it. Don't matter whether you believe it or not. This is still the perfect, powerful, infallible Word of God. Hey, can I explain it all to you? Absolutely not. When I get into my concordances, I find that one author has this opinion, one author has that opinion. But I want to tell you something. I've got a Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, and He's going to reveal the Word of God to me just as I need it. Every single time. That's the reason that it is the living Word of God. Well, preacher, I can't understand the Bible. I've had people come to me who were lost and said, preacher, I can't understand the Bible. That's right. You don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. I'm not saying I understand it all. I'm not saying I can explain it all. But I do want to tell you this. I believe it all. If it says it in here, I believe it. There's no reason to try to convince me otherwise. There's no reason to try to stump me. There's no reason to try to catch me to where I don't know what the answer is, because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know all the answers. You can stump me in just a minute. You can have me confused in just a minute. You can have me in a place where I don't have an answer to your question in just a minute. But I don't care. I still believe it's the Word of God. I still believe it. I believe that God is the creator of all, that there's only one way to heaven, that the Bible is still the perfect, powerful, infallible Word of God. Listen, now that we got some of our amens out of the way, I believe that God still expects His children to live a godly life. The Bible says to come ye out from among the world and be ye a separate people. I believe that God expects us to live in a way that gives Him glory and that points others to the cross of Christ. I want to tell you something this morning that does not make any sense to me. I cannot comprehend why somebody wants to say that they believe in God, that God is the best thing that's ever happened to them, that Jesus Christ has forgiven them of their sins, that He is the best gift they've ever had, but they want to live their life a totally opposite direction, that they want to live their life in a way that gives Him no glory, that they want to live their life in a way, hey, what would you think if I came in here and I told you that autumn, Now, you knew that I had said at some time in my life that autumn was the best thing that's ever happened to me here on this earth. And besides from meeting Jesus Christ, autumn is the best thing that's ever happened to me here on this earth. And then, if I came here and I said, she's the most wonderful woman and I love her so much, but then, a few years down the road, when you asked me about her, I act like I didn't even know her. You see me out with another woman somewhere. Heaven help me. If you do, go ahead and confront me. Just don't tell my wife. You see me doing something that brought dishonor to her. What in the world would you think? You would think that everything that I said about how wonderful she is, how much I loved her, and how I just cherish her, so, that's all baloney now, ain't it? Don't mean a hill of beans. You know, why do we think that our relationship with Christ is any different? God expects, Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, God expects his children to live a godly life. Look at this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not that it's something that you're just doing and it's all amazing, but it's your reasonable service unto God, for loving you when you was unlovable, for dying for you while you were still a sinner, for giving his life for you when you were not worthy, that we should have a reasonable service of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. I still believe. Look, society doesn't believe this. The liberal church age does not believe this. But I believe this morning on the authority of God's word, on Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, that God still expects us to live a holy and a godly life. I believe that the love of money is still the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. Listen. Finances, money, having the lack thereof, whatever it is, has completely changed our definition of what being successful is in our lives. I find in my own life that if I spend as much time loving lost souls, look, let me stop right here before somebody gets to saying, well, the Bible says that you, amen, the Bible says that you are to provide for your family. And a man that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. The Bible also says a man that doesn't work, neither shall he eat. I know those scriptures. But what I'm saying is this. I don't think any of you or me that we're just financially capable of taking care of our family. We've been blessed way beyond that. Okay, and we've got to the place even in my life, and I find myself even translating it into my kids' life, that being financially stable is my definition of success. If I spend as much time searching for lost souls, seeking for God's will in my life, 45 and older, I need you right here. If I spend as much time doing those things as I do, chasing a dollar, trying to be sure that my family has not everything they need, but everything they want, if I spend as much time, I have a feeling that I could be sitting here this morning with some of my friends and my family who had come to know Jesus Christ. Because you can find out real quick where your heart is. Look what's on your calendar and look in your checkbook and you'll find out where your heart is. God help me. Hey, I know I told some of you younger ones, 13 to 25, this message is for you. And the rest of us are just having to endure it. But it's getting me while I'm enduring it. 13 to 25. I'm not saying that this is in your life. I'm not saying that you have a problem. What I'm saying is if I was sitting down across the table from my three children, and I love more my three children more than anybody in this world, my wife and my three children, I love them so much. But when I'm sitting across the table from them, this is what I would be telling them as we go through. This is what I would be telling them. I love you so much that don't let this financial success define who you are. Yeah, I want you, if it's God's will for you to go to college, go to college. If it's God's will for you to make a ton of money, make a ton of money. That's wonderful. But I want you to be sure of one thing, that God always comes first, and that lost souls and worshiping God and giving God glory with your life is more important than any dollar that you'll ever stick in your pocket. I believe that the root of the love of money is still the root of all evil. It drives us to doing things that we wouldn't normally do. Money will have you doing things, making choices that you wouldn't normally make. I'm going to move on. The next one. All right, 45 and older, here's where I got to have you. 13 to 25, I'm not saying that you're involved in this whatsoever. I'm sounding a warning. I'm letting you know, stay away. It would be just the same if we was out here in this road and I seen a car coming and I seen you standing in the middle of the road and you didn't see that car. I would be ignorant to let you stand there and get hit. It would be just as ignorant for me not to give you the truth, because in this day that we're living in where so many things have changed, and you remember me talking about churches changed? Look, we love to talk about our personal relationship with Christ. We love talking about the love of Christ. But there's so many times that we leave out some things that is still the truth that we need to be standing on to help us to live the way that God wants us to live. Listen to this. I still believe, and it is still, look, I'm going to prove it to you with Scripture. Don't leave on me just yet. It is still not pleasing to God for Christians to be drunk. Ephesians chapter number 5, 45 and over, right here you go. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 18. You may have to get the recording ready, brother. All right. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, some of you are going to play on my words right here and say, little preacher, it says drunk, don't say anything about drinking. Okay. Let's go back to this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Y'all know that my saying is this. It is my responsibility as a Christian to give God glory with my life and to point others to the cross. Does anybody agree with that? Amen. Okay. So, let's read another verse of Scripture first. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. One more. No, let's not. How often, while in a setting where people are drinking, do you see God getting glory or others being pointed to the cross of Christ? How often do you see that happen? More often, I see folks who are drinking become drunk wherein is excess. That's what I see more often than we're going to have a few drinks and we're going to give God glory and we're going to point others to the cross. It just doesn't happen that way. It just doesn't. When we get in those situations, it begins to be the place that we're satisfying a self-desire. We're drowning something in our life. Hey, and I want to tell you something. There's people today that have alcoholism, and I understand that, and it began by drinking one. They didn't start out wanting to be a drunk. It began with drinking one. And now they have a problem, and when it came about, it was, I'm going to relieve some stress. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to do whatever it is, the reason that they started. I'm going to be social. I'm going to be whatever. And it has now grown into a problem that is too big for them to handle. And now they're in a place where they say, man, I seriously doubt. Now, they'd probably be somebody that would rebuttal this. And if you will, please just wait till after service. I seriously doubt that if you're here this morning and you are having an issue with alcohol, I seriously doubt that you would sit across the table from your children and advise them to walk that path. I seriously doubt that you would say, you know what? I know that alcohol has done some really bad things in my life. It has caused me to act a fool when I shouldn't have acted a fool. It has caused me to do things that I regret. It has split my home. It has cost me this. It has cost me that. I seriously doubt that you would look at all that and say, you know what? But it's still good, and I hope my children follow in those footsteps. 13 to 25, look, if you don't ever walk down that path, if you don't ever get to where it becomes a problem, if you don't ever get to where, hey, I'm going to be social and I'm going to do this, I'm going to tell you something, then you will never have to face the issue of walking away from it. If you will focus on giving God glory with your life and pointing others to the cross of Christ, I promise you, I really believe I can say this, I promise you that this book right here is never going to point you to Budweiser. This book right here is never going to point you to Michelob. It's never going to point you to a wine cellar. It's going to point you to caring for others so much and loving others so much. It's going to point you to the cross where Christ made a difference in your life, and you're going to give it to others that they may find Jesus Christ, have forgiveness of their sins, and be able to go with you to heaven one day. Amen. Let's go to the next one. 45 and older, I still need you right here. I believe, on the authority of God's word, that sex outside of marriage is still a sin. Listen, we're living in a day that sex sells. I'm going to be blunt with you this morning. We're having a family conversation. You know, when I talk to my sons and my daughters, sometimes people look at me and say, I can't believe you just said that to your children. I'm very blunt with my children. Because you know what? This world is very blunt with my children. we're in living in a day and a time where sex sells, sex is good, sex is, I mean, it's just whatever. And let me go ahead and say this. I know I got 45 and older support right here. Inside the sanctity of marriage, everything happening just the way that God has planned it, sex is good. Amen. Come on, man. What in the world? Oh, we're being holy. Oh, you just said sex is good. Inside the laws that God has set for us, sex is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you can't even say it without giggling.
Hallelujah. That's good preaching. Amen.
But let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. You want to know why that is? Because we as men were made to love our helpmeet that God has given us. Just as in the garden when Adam got Eve, he was designed to love her so much, and even went as far as to eating the apple to be there with her because he loved her so much. All right, and when we love our women so much, our woman, our wife, when we love our wife so much, she can influence us to either follow God more or to follow God less. And he was saying, look, it's better for a man not to touch a woman. But then verse number 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. That's where I get, the Bible has it more places than this, that it is designed for a marriage situation. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. In other words, this is a sin that really, it's not just on the outside, but it also has inside ties. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 19. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 19. I may have forgot to give her one. Sorry. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I'm going to stop there. Listen to me. We are living a day and a time where sex is just absolutely just broadcast everywhere in front of us and is so readily available. Hey, listen to me. Let's just go ahead and get real blunt. There is so much pornography out there that it's ridiculous. I'm going to speak to you young men specifically for just a minute. The temptation to look at pornography is natural. The desire to look at pornography is natural. What it does when you look at it, as far as the chemicals in your body, your mindset, what it does to your body is completely natural. But let me go one step further. When you get to watching it, what it does to your mind and your emotions and your idea of what your relationship with your spouse is supposed to be is completely unnatural. It will twist you up. Preacher, how do you know? Look, I even hate saying this because I don't want my kids to say, well, Daddy done it. And I don't want your kids to look and say, well, the preacher done it. But very little. But I was exposed to some pornography when I was 15, 16 years old. And you know what? Some of those images still are right here. Some of those things are still right here, and it can take you and it can twist you up to where you don't even know what your relationship with your wife is supposed to be, where you have expectations out of your marriage that are completely unnatural, to where you have a place in your heart and in your mind where nothing will ever satisfy except for that mess. I want to just sound a warning this morning. Stay away from it. Don't let it come into you. 45 and older, y'all should be here with me. Y'all should be saying, yeah, I don't want my kid to ever be involved in that. I don't want them to ever. Hey, 13 to 25, some of you probably have already been there because you got a little magical device in your pocket. I don't have mine with me this minute. That makes it so accessible. And if I could look at my children this morning and say, please don't ever, ever get into that mess. It'll mess you up. All of this stuff that we've been talking about this morning will mess you up if you get involved in it. It's going to take you away from presenting your body a living sacrifice, from giving God glory or pointing others to the cross. And I don't care whether we like it or whether we don't like it. On the authority of God's word, it is still wrong. They can teach what they want to in school. We can tell our kids what we want to at home. But when we stand before God, this is what's going to matter. Is what this says. I'm almost done. If you die without Christ, you still go to hell. Not pretty. Not easy. Does anybody else want to sing Silent Night right now? I'm not feeling it, but y'all, if y'all want to, we will. If you die without Jesus Christ in your life, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you still go to hell. Not pretty. Hell is an eternal separation from God. You know how this morning, even though it might not be that loving hallelujah spirit that we have sometimes, or that I'm going to cry because the Spirit of God is so real in my life right now, but I don't know about you, but I can feel the Spirit of God this morning. He's speaking to me. He's working in my life. He's helping me even as I stand here and preach this morning. And can you imagine saying, okay, never again will you experience the presence of God in your life? That's hell. Hell is also a place of complete torment. The Bible talks about where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, that it is a place of everlasting, eternal. You know, people want to talk about everlasting life. You are going to live forever somewhere, either in heaven or hell. And whether we like it or not, the Bible and the day that we live in, people want to look at us and say, well, you know, I just don't believe a God that loves you so much would send you to hell. I don't believe that a God that's supposed to be so good and so full of love would send you to hell. I don't believe that a God that created all this wonderful creation that is so beautiful and so awesome would send you to hell. He's not sending you to hell. You are choosing hell this morning if you end up dying and going to hell. You are choosing to go to hell. Really quick, though, let me tell you something. We've talked about some stuff that I still believe, and I still can back up with the Word of God. Let me tell you something else I can still back up with the Word of God. That even if some of this crap is in our life, yeah, I did say crap because that's what it is. Even if some of this mess is in our life, even if you're battling some of it right now, even if you're 13 to 25 and you're sitting here saying, I haven't experienced any of that yet, God, please help me not to get into that mess. Even if you're in that situation, let me tell you something that I still know is the truth. I still know that the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross over 2,000 years ago still has the power to wash away my sin. Amen. Look, if you've got caught up in some of this mess, if you've got caught up in pornography, if you've experienced with alcohol, if you've got to the place to where, you know, maybe you've went a little too far with your significant other, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and things have got a little out of hand, I want you to know that the blood that Jesus Christ shed for us on the cross is still powerful enough to forgive you of that sin, to wash it away, to make you brand new in the sight of God. There's no reason to live in the shame. There's no reason to live in the place that you're at right now, to where on the inside you're broken. On the inside, you know you're away from God. You may be putting on a pretty face on the outside and everybody thinks that you're spiritual and everything is okay in our life. Hey, I've been there as a Sunday school teacher. I've been there as a deacon. I've been there as a preacher to where everything seemed like it was okay on the outside. But me and God knew that things were all messed up on the inside. That I'd got into something that I didn't need to be into. That I'd said something that I shouldn't have said. That I'd thought something that shouldn't have ever crossed my mind. But I'm so glad that I could go back to God and I could say, God, I still know that Christ's blood is still powerful enough to forgive me of my sin, to wash that sin out of my life, to make me brand new. And God, I want to be back in fellowship with you. I know that you still love me, that you still want a relationship with me. And God, that nothing in this world can come between me and you as long as I'm willing to give it to you. That the blood of Jesus Christ is still powerful enough to wash away the sins in your life. Jennifer and Hannah, if you all will, come on. Get us a song of invitation. Listen, this is not a judgmental message. I tell my son and my daughters all the time, I'm going to talk to you about something. Don't mean I think you're guilty of it. Don't mean I think that you're into it. But I just want to talk to you because Daddy's been down that road before. I know what can happen. I know where it can lead to. And if there's any way possible, I want to help you to avoid what I've been through. I want to help you steer away from that. Listen, church, especially the young people in this church this morning that I just completely pointed out, I want you to know that I'm not fussing, that I'm not mad, I'm not angry. I don't even think that you're guilty of any of it. Only thing I'm saying is I love you so much as your pastor that I don't know anything other to do than to make sure that you know the truth. I don't want you to be 40 one day or 50 and say, you know what, I read this over here and I don't remember my preacher ever telling me that. That could have saved me a lot of heartache. That could have saved me a lot of trouble. Man, my relationship with God could have been so much different. I just want you to know that things may have changed, but God's not changed. We can dress it up. We can pretty it up. Hey, we can have worship services and stand here and raise our hands and sway back and forth. Man, that's good if that's the way God wants us to worship. We can do all of that and still leave here so messed up in sin that we're not walking anywhere close to God. I want you to look at your heart. Look at your life. Please know that this message is completely in love. Well, preacher, I don't agree with you. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to follow my rules. You don't have to follow what I say. Right here is what I want you to follow. You don't agree with me? Go home and search it. Read it. See which one is going to help your Christian walk more. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I have never met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know that I'm saved. I cannot remember saying, God, forgive me of my sins. But I know that blood is still powerful. Will you pray for me? I may not be able to come up there today. I may not get saved today, but I don't want God to give up on me. I don't want God to quit speaking to me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Just slip up your hand. Preacher, pray for me. Anywhere in the congregation. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, there's no possible way that I'm going to raise my hand for you to pray for me after what you've preached today. Look, if any of this mess is in your life, you and God already know it. And I'm not asking you to admit it to me. What I'm asking you is, preacher, I'm here this morning and I know my Christian walk is not where it's supposed to be. I know that my spiritual health is failing and I don't want to stay here. I want to get my relationship back right with God. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand? Say, preacher, pray for me. I see your hand. Put it right back down. I see your hands. You can put it right back down. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Anyone else? Preacher, please pray for me. Okay, teenagers. 13 to 25. Preacher, I know you gave this message to me, and I want to thank you for giving me the truth. I don't like it. It's not going to make me popular. It's not going to make it where I'm very cool to hang out with, but at least now I know the truth. Preacher, I'm facing some of this stuff. Or preacher, I'm facing something that you have not even mentioned, but I need help with it. I want you to pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? Preacher, I'm dealing with something. God sees your hand, you put it right back down. I see your hand, you put it right back down. I see your hand, you put it right back down. Preacher, I'm dealing with something and it's tearing at me. I know it's not good for my spiritual health. Please pray for me. I'm in a valley of decision and I don't want to make the wrong decision. Preacher, would you pray for me? As you stand to your feet with every head bowed and every eye closed, Hannah's going to sing for us. Take a look at your life. If you need help from God, it's right here. If you need to come and confess to God, it's right here. Maybe you're the 45 and older group and you say, well, you know what? This message wasn't really for me, but maybe I need to go deal with God. This altar's right here. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I've got kids and I'm not focused on their spiritual life as much as I should be. I'm going to go pray for them right now. This altar is right here. Man, let's just give it to God. Let's just search God. Let's say, God, I still know your word is true and I'm still accountable for your word. God, help me to be accountable. Help me to pray for my children. Help me to guide my children. God, help me in everything that I do, that I will follow your word.
Empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen when nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry. Just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fill. So leave it all behind and come to the well.
Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings, God. And we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to be in your house. God, I just want to give you, and even though they're tough, God, that you gave them to us because that you loved us. And God, I pray that you'll just help this church understand, help these teenagers, these young adults understand that the only purpose for this message, God, is I love them so much that I want to see them follow God. I want to see them give him glory, point others to the cross, and have the life that you've designed us to have. God, I pray for every hand that was raised. God, you know every need. God, I pray that you'll just continue to work. Help us to be what you'd have us to be here at Fellowship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.